The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of new writing and production techniques, today devotes its coast-to-coast hookup to a program originating at station KNX in Hollywood and starring George Kolouris and Osa Masson. Mr. Kolouris is filling in with scarcely more than a moment's notice in the place of Mr. Paul Henried, who was not able to appear because of illness. Also included in the cast are Lorene Tuttle, Lee Price, and Alan Hubbard. Entitled No Children at Play, this program was written by Ray Sollers and is presented by the Workshop through arrangement with the Hollywood Writers Mobilization and the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. It is produced by Chet Huntley, who also appears as narrator. The special musical score was composed and is conducted by Wilbur Hatch.
No Children at Play. Over one-third the surface of the globe, there are no children at play. This is a story of dark and silent streets, shuttered windows and smokeless chimneys, of such things as dull and staring eyes, hunger-torn stomachs, and emaciated limbs. Its drama tells of no bread, no children at play, no meat and no men at work. The story of a weak and shaky and tremulous peace for the want of a peanut butter sandwich. This is a story presented, shall we say, for your entertainment. In it, there's a little girl named Jane who made three wishes, just like any other little girl. We don't know whether they came true or not. That's for you to decide. But we'll give you one little hint. There's no make-believe in this story. It's real. Real because while there are no children at play in many other countries, this is the United States of America. And it is Sunday afternoon. Real because the comic section is still lying on the floor where Jenny read it, and the financial section is sitting in the big easy chair in front of Jenny's father. Her mother is reading a special Sunday supplement on homes and gardens. All of this happens every Sunday, and usually about this time, Jenny's mother lowers the paper to her lap and tries to start a conversation with the head of the house.
Joe, do you suppose I ought to plant any garden at all this year?
I don't know. Guess so.
Well, the war's over now, and I can get everything at the store that I'd raise in the garden.
I suppose so.
Of course, it does save money to raise our own vegetables.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Oh, but it doesn't save very much, and we're putting plenty in the bank anyway, aren't we?
Huh? What'd you say? Oh, money. Sure, we're doing all right. Several dollars between us and starvation.
How much money have we got, Daddy? Are we rich,
Peter? Never mind about how much we have. It's enough to feed you and buy clothes and shoes for you, even if you don't take care of them properly.
I just can't figure out what she does to her shoes to wear them out so fast.
Your growing child plays hard. Of course, if she'd stay off the sidewalks more and play on the grass, her shoes would last longer.
I do play on the grass almost all the time.
Jane, dear, don't argue with your father.
It doesn't matter, Evelyn. Like I said, I'm making enough right now that an extra pair of shoes once in a while won't hurt us.
You're just encouraging her, Joe. And we may not always be this well off.
We won't starve. I'm a pretty good architect, and people are going to build more and more houses all the time.
If I was a little Dutch girl, I'd have wooden shoes. And they don't wear off.
It says here in the paper that the building boom will last for at least 10 years.
Do the wooden shoes wear out, Daddy?
Oh, I suppose not. Soon as things really loosen up, I think I'll sell this place and build us a bigger one.
Some of those French girls wear wooden shoes, too. And I'll bet their daddies don't scold them, either.
Yes, dear. Well, I would like to have a larger living room, and... Oh, this kitchen is all wrong.
I'll bet it will be fun to live in Europe and see all the famous places like Paris and Berlin and... Gee, could we go to Europe, Daddy?
Huh? Oh, Europe. maybe when you're older. It'd be a good education for you, but you're too young now to really appreciate it, Janie.
Oh, no, I'm not at all. You know what I wish? I wish I could be in Europe now.
Well, you just go right ahead and wish. It won't hurt you.
Close my eyes and wish real high.
Now, Jane, you should imagine that you're in a European town and that you're walking down a quaint little street lined with cute little stone houses. And pretty soon you'll walk up to one of them and knock on the door, and then you'll go inside and meet the people who live there.
But I don't want to just imagine it. done that before. I wish I was honest to goodness really there.
Lisa.
Yes, Charles?
That is the first time I've heard you sing for many months.
And I hardly realized that I was doing it. I must be happier than usual.
There's been very little to make you happy. For a long time, very little to make any of us happy who live in Europe.
You're wrong, Charles. I have all that I want. We are together now that the war is over. And we have our little home.
Yes, it is little. I promised you a much larger one.
We shall have it before long. You're a good architect. You will plan it and build it just like you promised me. Do you remember what you said when you proposed to me?
Yes, yes, I remember. And I think I've failed. Lisa, I haven't given you anything. I'm a failure.
No, you mustn't talk like that. I won't permit it. Because you're talking about my husband, whom I love very much.
Lisa, you have so much faith. What was the song you were singing a moment ago?
It was just an old Danish hymn, one that I learned when I was a child.
You were thinking about Denmark and the Sunday afternoons there when you were happy.
I'm happy now, Charles.
Do you ever wish that you were back in Denmark, that you had never met me?
Do you?
Oh, of course not, dear. I would not want to live anymore if you were not here. But you left your native land and came here. I thought perhaps you were wishing that you were back there again.
No. No, I was only thinking of the way we spent Sunday afternoon, visiting among friends.
Yes, I think that was the custom everywhere in Europe.
Why is it that people do not do that anymore, Charles? Don't they want to visit in the homes of their friends?
They may want to, my dear, but no one will go calling again until he knows that he can accept the hospitality and food of his friends without robbing them of their next meal.
Oh, I guess that's it. I have forgotten that there's so little food in Europe.
Until there is more, I doubt that we shall have any Sunday afternoon callers. Well, it seems that I'm about to be proven wrong, although I can't think who it might be.
Lisa, it's the little girl.
Hello there.
How do you do?
Oh, she's darling. And so healthy. Such rosy cheeks.
But she cannot be a European child, not then be as healthy as this.
I'm a little American girl. My name is Jane. What's your name?
My name is Lisa, and this is Charles.
Lisa's a very pretty name. May I come in? Oh,
yes, of course you may. I must have forgotten our manners.
Now then, would you like to sit down? How did you get here?
Thank you. I was walking down your quaint little street, and I saw this cute little house, so I just knocked on the door.
You're a very young lady to be wandering about all alone. Is your home near here?
No, my home is in America.
Oh, he means your home here in town.
Oh, I don't have any home here. I wanted to stay with you for a while.
Well, I guess you can stay the rest of the afternoon if you like.
Oh, but I wanted to stay longer than that. Much longer. Maybe several weeks.
Oh, well, now, I don't know about that.
Oh, Charles, maybe if you walk around the neighborhood a little, ask someone, I'll entertain our little visitor in the meantime.
Yes, yes, yes. There may be someone looking for her. I'll do that. Now, if you two ladies will excuse me.
Nobody's looking for me.
Well, I'll just go for a little walk anyway. I'll be right back.
Now then, we can have a nice, quiet visit until Charles comes back.
He sounded like my daddy when he said, well, now, I don't know about that.
Oh, he did? And where's your father now?
Oh, he's in America.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about your father? What does he do?
He's an architect. He draws houses.
Oh, well, then he's like Charles, because that's what Charles does, too.
Maybe my father's a little older than he is, but I like Charles just the same. Why, I could be your little girl, couldn't I?
Well, yes, but...
You don't have any little girl of your own, do you?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Well, then I'll be your little girl for a while. And when I leave, I wish for you to have one of your very own.
Do you think I could get one just like that?
Oh, if I close my eyes and wish real hard, it'll come true.
Oh, all right. But I don't think you'd better do it just now. We are not just ready for a little girl of our own yet.
We'd want a larger house.
This is a cute little house.
And we'd want to have food. Yes, more food.
Yes. Because little girls do get hungry. I know. They eat lots.
They certainly do. I know what I did when I was little.
Lisa?
Yes, dear?
Have you got any cookies?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Because every afternoon I get a cookie and a glass of milk. That's to help me grow.
A glass of milk every day? No wonder you're so healthy.
Could I have some now?
We don't have any milk either, Jane. It's been weeks since we had even canned milk.
Oh, I don't think I've ever had canned milk.
Oh, that's good for little girls, too. Especially for babies. But we don't have any of that either.
Don't you have anything I could eat? Because my tummy is just a little teensy bit hungry, I think.
Well, let me see. We have no fruit. Oh, would you like a piece of bread? I can't give you very much.
Just one piece, thank you. What can I have on it? Besides butter, I mean.
Besides butter? Why, European children are happy if they can get even margarine. And I'm afraid Charles has finished all his month's ration already.
Well, then maybe I could have jam or jelly on my piece of bread. Please?
Jams and jellies take sugar, dear. And fruit. I'm very sorry. But I'm afraid that you'll have to eat your bread with nothing on it.
Sometimes when I'm not allowed to have jam on my bread, I have a peanut butter sandwich. That's very nourishing.
Yes, I know it is. But we haven't got any peanut butter either in Europe.
Well, do no European boys and girls like it?
Oh, they'd like it very much. And one peanut butter sandwich a day would be enough to save the lives of many of them who aren't getting enough to eat.
Well, somebody better hurry up and get them some. Because it's especially good for boys and girls. Oh, I guess maybe I'll wait a while before I have anything to eat. Because I'm kind of tired.
Maybe you'd like to come into the other room and lie down for a while. Until Charles comes back. Would you like to do that?
Well, only to rest a little. I won't really go sound asleep.
Oh, certainly not. Just to rest, that's all.
Lisa, where are you?
Shh, don't make so much noise. The little girl is asleep. Did you find out anything about her?
Not a thing. Nobody besides us has even seen her. You'd think she just dropped out of the sky.
Oh, she's a darling child. She asked me if he would like to have a little girl baby someday.
Hmm. You would like to have a child of your own, wouldn't you, Lisa?
Oh, Charles. More than anything else in the world.
And you did not tell me the truth this afternoon when you said that you have everything you want. Everything you need to make you happy.
But it would not be fair to a baby to give it a poor start in the world.
Any baby that is born in Europe today isn't getting a fair chance. They are dying by thousands before the age of 6 months.
I think it would make me happy if I could just hold one in my arms for a little while. A choppy pink one.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. Thin little things. They don't even have enough strength to do a good job of crying.
And they're so little. So helpless.
That's the only kind of baby we could expect to have, a sick one. Crying for food, we couldn't give it.
Then I wouldn't want to have a child. I don't want any. I'll wait to John.
Dear, darling.
Lisa. Lisa.
I'll go and see what you want.
No, I'm all right now. Here I am, Jane. What is it?
I wanted to ask you. Oh, goody, Charles is home. Did I sleep very long?
No. No, it really wasn't a very long nap.
Well, it must have been quite a while because I waked up very hungry. Lisa, what can we do today?
We learn geography, how the world is round like an orange.
Could I have an orange? He didn't give me very much to eat yesterday. Child, you must play school with me. Lisa hasn't played it with me for several days. Teach me about America.
America? America was discovered by a man named Columbus. He went to see Queen Isabella, and she said it was impossible. So he stood an egg on end to show her that he could do impossible things.
Was it a hard-boiled egg? Because I like hard-boiled eggs. And I'm very hungry.
The law of gravity was not written, dear. It was discovered by a man named Isaac Newton when an apple fell on his head.
I'd like to have an apple even if it fell on my head. I'm hungry, Lisa. My tummy hurts. Get
in touch with the American authorities. Surely you can find out something about little Jane.
I've checked in everywhere I can think of every day of the 3 weeks she's been here.
But we must do something. There's not enough food for Charles. She's starving, Charles.
There's not enough food for her, even though you'd give her part of what you should eat. She's not the only one who's starving.
But I'm older. It does not matter so much with me. I can stand it. It makes no difference.
Makes no difference. Aren't your hands getting shaky? Your nerves ragged?
Yeah, I am a little nervous. Because I worry.
We're both nervous because we don't get enough nourishment. Oh, no, dear, you can't fool me. Not when I can see the marks of starvation on your face.
Oh, I'm not beautiful anymore.
You will always be beautiful to me.
My skin is so dry. I cannot make it look nice.
My poor dear Lisa.
And my hair. It has no life to it. So straight and stringy. How can you love me anymore when I'm ugly?
I can see only the beautiful girl that I married. My Lisa.
My eyes look dull and lifeless.
Lisa, don't talk of it. It's enough that we starve without discussing it.
Oh, for myself, I would not really care. But I wanted to stay pretty for you.
Lisa, please be quiet.
You're cross with me. Charles, I can't help the way that I look.
Lisa! Oh, there must be some way, something that I could do.
Oh, there's nothing. There's no food to buy.
I would rob, steal, kill to get food for you.
Oh, you would commit a crime?
There's no other way. I'm not too proud to beg. I would even haunt the alleys for scraps, for potato peelings and crusts of bread if they were to be had. I would debase myself to the lowest depths if it would put life back in your eyes, my Lisa.
Oh, Charles.
But that would do no good. How is a man to find food? How is he to get it when even the garbage pails are empty? Yes, I would commit a crime. A man becomes a criminal with ease when he knows that he and his family will die. And if he does not rob or kill...
They would arrest you. Or they would just shoot you down on the street. I would lose you.
I will lose you. If I do not do something, oh, we can't go on starving forever.
Lisa!
Oh, now we have awakened the poor little Jane. I'd put her to bed very early so that she would not realize that she had been missing her supper.
Well, you'll just have to get her back to sleep because there's still no supper for her. There is nothing in the house that is fit for a child to eat.
I will go to her. Maybe I can quiet her down before she's really wide awake. Now then, you must lie down very quietly and go right back to sleep because it's very late.
It's too late for me to have anything to eat.
Yes. Yes, it's much too late for that. Close your eyes now and get started right back to sleepy land. Lisa will tuck the covers in and stay right here until you are asleep. There now. Breathe. Deep and slow. So little and so innocent. Dear Lord, please have mercy on this little child, on all the little children who cry for food tonight. They're so innocent. They have not sinned. If there must be want and famine on the earth, surely the little children may be spared.
Heavenly Father, be merciful to them. In the noon of the baby of Bethlehem, we ask mercy for the children of the world who starve tonight.
Amen.
God just like Mommy and Daddy and Lisa and Charles. And make me a good girl. Amen.
You were right.
I didn't go to sleep yet.
Let's try very hard to go back to sleep now.
You know what I wish? I wish that you wouldn't have any little girl like me after all. Not for a long time. Until you could have good things for her to eat. Because you haven't got enough for little girls to grow her. Not even any peanut butter.
Oh, Charles.
And you know what else I wish? I like both of you very much. Most of all, next to my mommy and daddy. But I'm hungry. And I wish that I was back in America again.
It is our pleasure to thank the stars of our performance today. First, our thanks to George Caloris, who played the part of Charles in our drama.
Thank you, Mr. Huntley. But I was not really playing a part. Just as you said at the beginning, this has not been make-believe today. There are millions of men like Charles in Europe and Asia today who can find no food, not even scraps for their families. This is an emergency. People are dying now of the world's most deadly disease, hunger. Yes. Hunger is a disease that cripples before it kills, a disease that attacks little children first of all. Its only cure is food, which we can give that others may live. It must be done now, and the emergency food collection starts today.
Thank you, George Caloris. Now we turn to the actress whom you heard today as Lisa, a very charming and talented young lady who recently returned from a trip to her native Denmark, Miss Åsa Madsen.
Thank you, Mr. Huntley. I was very glad to be able to be here today. Because I've seen the need of people in Europe. Many of their farms are ruined. Their livestock is killed in the war. And their railroads are destroyed, and the industries too. They must have help from outside if they're to rebuild their countries. If they're to live to enjoy the freedom that we want for them. My own mother and sister in Europe, in Denmark. But I'm not worried about them anymore. Because I can send them packages of food and clothing. But there are millions of other people in Europe and in Asia. They haven't got anyone in America who sends packages to them. And I would like to ask you of the radio audience to be the sisters and brothers of those people and do what must be done to keep them from starving. They will get food and they will live, but only if you give to the emergency food collection.
Thank you, Åsa Madsen. Every American must feel and accept the job of saving the people of Europe and Asia from starvation. Our nation and others are working through the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Administration. But that isn't enough. We must help as individuals. Each of us can give on his own. Food donations, canned foods only, will help. But donations of money will do more good and more quickly. And speed is important, for people are dying of starvation today. So give all you can to the Emergency Food Collection, money if you can. Send your contribution now to the Emergency Food Collection in your community. Today marks the opening of the Emergency Food Collection on behalf of the UNRRA. For an important message concerning the campaign, we take you now to Washington to hear Secretary of Agriculture Clinton Anderson.
The government has taken within the past few days a significant step in our national effort to obtain more wheat for the relief of famine which threatens the people of many other lands. Last Wednesday, the Office of Economic Stabilization, the Office of Price Administration, and the Department of Agriculture jointly announced higher price ceilings on the principal grains. The ceiling price on corn will be raised 25 cents. Wheat will go up 15 cents, with comparable increases for the other grains. This step is important not only to farmers, but also to consumers. There is every indication that the world food shortage will continue at least until the 1947 harvest. There should be some temporary relief of the critical famine situation near the end of the summer when the European grain harvest is completed, but only temporary. Most of the nations of Europe do not produce nearly as much grain as they consume in normal times, and the shortage of manpower, farm machinery, fertilizers, and tractor horsepower resulting from the war dooms their production this year to be even smaller than in the pre-war years. In order to avert another famine, they must have grain shipped to them during the coming fall, winter, and spring. There simply will not be enough grain produced in the United States and other countries that have grain to export to permit feeding record numbers of livestock and still provide hungry people with the grain they need to maintain life. We must make a choice between feeding starving people and maintaining our livestock numbers at record levels. Our choice, obviously, must be in the favor of people. During the war, the most urgent needs from American farms were for livestock and their products, meat, milk, eggs, and poultry. These needs called for increasing the numbers of livestock to record levels and then feeding heavily to get maximum production. We produced a great deal of grain during each of the war years, including 1945. But the heavy feeding of livestock caused us to use up reserves of grain that had been built up before the war. Within the last year, our reserves have disappeared. We must live and share out of the grain produced last year and what will be harvested in 1946. The significant thing that we must realize is that with the end of the war, the stopping of Lend-Lease, and the reduced size of our armed forces, the urgent demand has shifted from meat, dairy, and poultry products to grain to feed hungry people. Millions of people in liberated countries are crying for our food grains. When it comes to feeding people, we must face the fact that several times as many people can be fed directly with grain as can be fed if the grain is converted into livestock. So what we need from the farms of America is more grain and less livestock and livestock products. It is this change in need that prompted the decision to raise price ceilings on feed grains and protein supplements. The effect will be to encourage farmers and ranchers to reduce the number of animals they produce, to send them to market at lighter weights, and to encourage poultry raisers to cull the low-producing bird from their flocks. The early result may be more poultry and more meat animals coming to market, but the long-range effect during the next year will be reducing our meat consumption below present levels. We are now in the midst of the most critical period of the famine in the lands overseas. Everything must be done to make our limited supplies of grain go as far as possible in saving the lives of starving people. In the meantime, during the present critical period, millers are extracting larger amounts of flour from each bushel of wheat. Brewers and distillers are getting along without wheat, and farmers are feeding as economically as possible. These economies will do much, but they cannot replace the savings that can be made by your family and mine as consumers. Each one of us can help now and in the months to come. We can buy less bread and be sure that we use all we buy. Every piece of bread saved means a life spared for one more day. Your generosity and self-sacrifice are essential in this effort to save human lives.
Secretary of Agriculture Clinton Anderson has just spoken from the studios of WTOP Washington in connection with a special program, No Children at Play, written by Ray Sellers and starring George Kalouris and Osa Masson. This program was presented over the coast-to-coast hookup of the Columbia Network in conjunction with the Hollywood Writers Mobilization and was produced and narrated by Chet Huntley. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will return to New York to present The Trial by Franz Kafka, adapted for radio by Davidson Taylor and directed by Guy Della Chapa. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.